What it do, what it do, what it do. It is Freaky Geeky Friday. No, it's Friday. Yes, we made it. Now, we're going to talk about some heavy today. You ready for some coffee with Queen? I am. I saw an article and it made me think about something. This is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I often speak about my battles with PTSD on my episodes. And you may wonder, she hasn't been to war. Why? Commented an episode, or not even an episode, commented an article with Entertainment Weekly on sexual abuse, something he experienced in his childhood. I'm going to talk about it. Child sexual abuse, that's what we're doing. Mental Health Awareness Month on Coffee with Queen. What it do? Grab those cups. Most people hear PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder and they automatically assume you must be talking about a war veteran or someone who has experienced the trauma of war, combat, maybe even a terrorist act. But in essence, post-traumatic stress disorder is just someone who've experienced or witnessed a traumatic event. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to give you the textbook definition. I'm pulling the information straight from psychiatry.org. And I just want to make sure I stick straight to the facts. So what exactly is post-traumatic stress disorder? Well, PTSD is a psychiatric disorder that can occur in people who have experienced or witnessed a traumatic event, such as a natural disaster, a serious accident, a terrorist attack, war slash combat, rape, or other violent personal assault. PTSD has been known by many names in the past, such as shell shock during the years of World War I, or combat fatigue after World War II. But PTSD does not just happen to combat veterans. PTSD can occur in all people, and people of any ethnicity, nationality, or culture in any age. PTSD affects approximately 3.5% of U.S. adults, and an estimated 1 in 11 people will be diagnosed with PTSD in their lifetime. Women are twice as likely as men to have PTSD. I brought that up because I speak often on my podcast about PTSD and me, and that's just one of the many ailments in my alphabet soup. That's what I call myself for mental health and wellness. And it typically stemmed from my childhood. I and my siblings witnessed a lot of traumatic events growing up, domestic violence and sexual assault. And in my case, at least, that played a major role on my development as a child. I didn't find out that I suffered with PTSD until later on in my life. I was probably well in my 20s after all the ill effects had taken place and basically molded me to be the person that I was at that point in my life. I had to seek extra help. And that's when I was diagnosed, early on in my 20s. Something actually stood out to me, the term shell shock. And granted, I've never been to war per se. Perhaps I was fighting my own war of my childhood. Never thinking, whatever the case. Stick on shell shock. The term shell shock stuck out to me because that's exactly how I felt going throughout life, especially when it was time for me to interact with men. It was damaging and problematic in my relationships. And basically, any time I had to encounter the opposite sex, I would basically become frozen. Communication was reserved. You couldn't touch me. Mind you, in my 20s, I was married. By the age of 25, I was already married. And I was still dealing and coping with it. I'm still dealing with it to this day. It's just not as hard. But I didn't want to be touched. I didn't want anyone in my personal space. I was really robbing myself of life, of human interaction. I was shell-shocked. And the result of that caused me to lose out on a lot of my earlier years in life. The affection that I could have received, I wasn't welcoming of it. I didn't want to be touched. If you touch me, you can simply tap me on my shoulder or give me an innocent hug, in your opinion, and I felt violated all over again. I was forced to relive the experience of my childhood all over again. My struggles with PTSD became debilitating. I was frozen. What caused it? Well, it's something more common than most people may want to even believe. And you notice I say may want to believe because we can no longer turn the other cheek. And once again, I had a very traumatic childhood, and sexual abuse wasn't the only determining factor that pushed me on the path to develop symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. But I would actually say that that was the number one contributing factor. Childhood sexual abuse. Maybe I need to get a little deeper to let you know what I'm talking about. Put you in my place a little bit. Let me share a few numbers with you. Let's talk about childhood sexual abuse. Hold your thoughts on PTSD for a moment. Sip on your coffee. Follow me here. I'm going to share. We're going to take a look at some numbers here. Some numbers. And we're not talking about finances or anything of that nature. Just hear me out. And this information is courtesy of Darkness to Light. So, DTL.org. Darkness to Light. Their whole motive is to end child sexual abuse. 1 in 10 children will be sexually abused before the age of 18. 90% of child sexual abuse victims know their abusers. 1 in 7 incidents of child sexual abuse perpetrated by juveniles occur on school days. Of the children who are sexually abused, 20% are abused before the age of 8. And only 4 to 8% of child sexual abuse reports are fabricated. Only 4 to 8% of child sexual abuse reports are fabricated. Did you grab that? So that's what this episode is going to be geared on. And this particular episode was more so sparked by an article that I came across in Entertainment Weekly from Common. He actually disclosed his challenges throughout life after experiencing sexual assault himself. Take a read. It's a good read. Check it out, Entertainment Weekly. And he spoke from the perspective of a male. And in this day and age, it's if it's hard for a female to come forward, imagine the weight that a man must have on his shoulders thinking about talking about something of that stature. And it's more common than you may believe. Think about it. Because that's what we're going to talk about today. There's really no way to have a sexual assault or sexual abuse victim radar. You just have to be in tune. What goes on behind these doors stays behind these doors. You don't understand how traumatizing or how that can be to a child, how a child can perceive that. I'm not saying that's the reason why I didn't speak. I'm saying that the first time I had to endure that experience, I was about 7 years old. 7. And bear with me for a moment because I like to keep it funky. I'm a firm believer that you can't really speak on something unless you've experienced it firsthand. So that's pretty much the only reason I'm giving you the behind the scenes. To know Queen is to know I'm pretty much a private person. And this is really much the first time I'm speaking on this publicly. And the podcast is global. I love you all. Thank you for listening. But it's more so to get down and dirty and let you know I've been there. That's why I'm even speaking on it. You understand? It's kind of hard for me nonetheless. So bear with me. I do ask for that. So here we go. I was about 7 years old, and it was somebody that, as I stated earlier, that my family trusted with me, a caretaker, somebody that I called my uncle, per se. And I remember this night vividly. My parents were downstairs, and unbeknownst to them, this particular adult was upstairs carrying on with adult activities with me. They assumed that I was asleep, but I wasn't. I was very much awake. I pretended to be asleep as the life exited my body. I was no longer the same after that moment. I didn't wake up as if I was asleep. I just stayed there frozen. I didn't know what just happened to me. I didn't know why. I didn't know what to feel. It wasn't real. What the hell just happened? I was 7. And these activities went on for a while. I was in the primary care of my father at that time. When I was about maybe 9 years old, I moved away to go and live with my mother. Mind you, I was no longer the same person that they thought I was. I was no longer this child that they thought I was. This bright and bubbly Dommy is what they called me. That was my nickname, Angel. I was no longer her. I had shut down completely. I was quiet and reserved. No one noticed. Everyone went on with their life. I hardly ever spoke. And everyone just thought that Dominique was observant. No, I was harboring a murder. The murder of my innocence. Well, I went to live with my mother, and I thought that I would be a little safer there. And the same thing happened. Different person, same environment, a caretaker. My mother was working her behind off to take care of us. She was a single mother. Her friend had an adult son. My mother trusted this woman. My mother practically raised her son. That didn't stop anything from happening. But anyway, I grew up to become a teenager. And my actions were rebellious. But everyone chalked that up to natural childhood act antics, natural teenage behavior. I became promiscuous around the age of 16, 15. I became highly aggressive and I had no respect for authority or men. I became suicidal. I actually attempted to take my own life on multiple occasions. But by the grace of God and the divine, I was not able to do so. I had a bigger plan. I was hurt. There was a darkness that I was taking with me throughout my life. and it was molding me to become an individual that I was never destined to be. No one noticed. No one knew. To me, no one cared. I blamed those that were closest to me. I blamed my mother. I blamed my father. I definitely blamed the caretakers. I blame my entire family. I blame the entire world. You understand? It was hard. I was a child. Fast forward to me being 24 when a detective was on the other end of the phone asking me, do I want to pursue an investigation? And if I choose not to do so, then that's the last time I will be able to pursue anything in reference to that individual. I let it go. I wasn't ready to talk about it. That was the day that my mother found out. She had no idea. She didn't notice the signs. My father didn't notice the signs. No one knew. And had I not said anything after that phone call, no one would have ever known. Well, my mother, at least, would have never known. But it was that very day that I had that conversation with my mother, broken down and all, that I felt like I could breathe again. It was that moment that I disclosed what happened to me that I felt free. That's the only way to begin to heal is to talk about it. The only difference is if it's something that you've dealt with, if it's something that you recently dealt with, you can speak on it now. You may not know, you may not have the answers, and you may not even have anyone in particular that you can trust. But trust me, I have a number. I have a whole group, a whole team of people geared to help you. If you've never experienced it, then I'm going to tell you about some signs or maybe some things that you could do to help save a life. Emotional and behavior signals are common among sexual abuse children. Some of these are too perfect behavior, withdrawal, fear, depression, unexplained anger, and rebellion. Once again, this comes from that dope website, D2L.org, Darkness to Light. Rebellion. Rebellion was the main factor that I spoke on. Also, unexplained anger. I harbored a lot of anger and I was severely depressed and I withdrew. Those are the key signs. I'm not saying that it is the all-entailed list, but those are some of the key factors. If you notice those behaviors in some of the children that you interact with, be more hands-on. Be a little proactive in the approach. Ask the questions that we're afraid to ask. Intervene. Perhaps we may save a life. Perhaps we may give back a life that was stolen. Withdrawal, depression, unexplained anger. Those aren't just typical childhood behaviors. They become combative, more aggressive than they usually are. Those are red flags. You used to have a dope relationship. You used to talk. They used to communicate more. And then they completely shut down. Bullies. That could be a cry for help as well. Cruelty to animals. Want to harm yourself. Self-harm. Suicidal thoughts. Unexplained change behavior. Sudden change of behavior. Those are red flags. Once again, you may look around your household and think that everything is pristine and locked up tight. But the moment your child is interacting with another individual, they become exposed to potentially being a victim of sexual abuse. It has nothing to do with how you parent. It's time to get from behind what we're so used to. Once again, stop turning the other cheek. And we have to be proactive about the situation. We owe it to ourselves. The fact is, had I not just spoken about what I experienced as a child, a lot of people very close to me would have never known. That goes to show that it could be someone very close to you. It could be your own child that is facing issues such as child sexual abuse. And you'll never know unless you recognize the signs. Or perhaps you introduce the conversation to them proactively that you were just uncomfortable to do before. It starts somewhere. And it's going to take a different mindset to be able to tackle this. And I can guarantee you, if you are a victim of child sexual abuse or any type of sexual abuse, it doesn't matter if it happened when you were a child. It could have been when you were an adult. If you are a victim, talk about it. Don't hold it in. You're not alone. There are people to help you. But you're not going to get through it unless you deal with it and talk about it. That's the quickest way to start healing. I can tell you factually, you'll never forget it, but it does get easier to deal with it once you start speaking about it. Once you start putting some concrete to what happened to you because it's valid and you have every right to feel the way that you feel. It was real. Yes, something was taken from you that you will never get back. But the empowerment that you're going to give yourself by speaking on it, it's going to develop an individual you never even knew existed. A more powerful individual, a strong individual, willing and able to face anything that life throws at you. Dope, epically dope, I promise. Talk about it. Sexual abuse doesn't discriminate. Men face it. Women face it. Boys, girls. It's real. And if you've had to be, unfortunately, a victim, please seek help early. Don't walk through life harboring that hurt. There's a National Child Sexual Abuse Helpline, Darkness to Light. 1-866-FORLIGHT. Once again, it's for any individual, child or adult, who needs resources about sexual abuse. They can help you. Call that helpline. For real. And if you don't want to call the helpline, hit me up. I'm no professional, but I can tell you, it helps just to talk about it, just to let it out. You can find me at Facebook, Coffee with Queen, Instagram, The Real Alpha Queen, and on Twitter, One Alpha Queen. That's O-N-E, Alpha Queen. And until next time, we're going to have some decaf coffee, maybe even some tea. If you're new to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review. Yes. Until next time, I'll let you, girl. Dopeness.